I want you to go to Mark, if you would, and go to Mark. I'm going to make an announcement here in just a minute, but I want you to go ahead and Mark 16, if you would, and we'll go forward with this. I'm going to speak here in just a minute. In our lobby, you know, back over there toward the steps that go down into the basement, is we have a prayer clock. If you haven't seen it, go see it. And sign up. And what you do is it's 15 intervals, okay, that you are going to devote to prayer, okay? You decide when and how you want to do it, all right? And go ahead and sign up. Now, I just want to maybe add something to it so that someone's not intimidated and says, well, I can't commit to that. All right, now it's for every day. But if you can't do it every day, then you decide what days that you can do it. Like maybe I can do, you know, from 8 to 8:30 in the evening, or 8:15 to 8:30 in the evening on Tuesday and on Thursday. Don't hold back, okay? Don't hold back. You go ahead and do that, and then that's really the time that you're signing up for. You make a decision, and, you know, we want to fill in the clock as much as possible. You know, and let that be between you and the Lord, all right? Okay, but that's what we're going to do. You know, we know that, you know, October, there's our sign back here that's on the balcony there. October is intercessory prayer, take the ground back, right? And, you know, we're making a push in the kingdom of God. That's what we're doing right here. You know, and that's what God wants us to do. You know, so also with that, go back there and sign. Don't leave tonight, today, without going and signing up. All right, sign up, be thinking about it, sign up, 15 minutes, right? All right, we appreciate that. And then the next thing is our intercessory prayer. It's starting, it's going to be every Sunday evening, this evening, and it starts at 5 o'clock, from 5 to 6, all right, from 5 to 6, intercessory prayer. You know, I've got what I feel like that we're going to start with, and we'll go from there, all right? And we'll be here interceding, standing in the gap. And then that's exactly what my message is this morning, is to stand in the gap. And we're going to tackle that subject as we go along here in the month. But that's every Sunday night, starting tonight, 5 o'clock, started right at 5, and go to 6. I want to remind you about our fundraiser. There's also, you know, out there we got it measured on the wall. You know, about our fundraiser, which is about our sound system. We need one, and we're seeking to raise $20,000, and we celebrated last week that we went over the 5,000 mark. And that's on my heart, and I did a message called The Four Corners of Prosperity, if you remember that. I don't want you to forget the four corners of prosperity. Number one, you know, is obedience. Number two is to be a blessing. Number three is to live a life of faith. And number four is to be generous. You can go back and hear that message if you want to. And get that in your heart. Get that in their heart, because that's where you're going to find prosperity flowing in your life. The prosperity that you need. Don't go telling me you don't need prosperity. Oh, I don't need prosperity. I'm just happy the way I am. Shame on you. Because it's more than a dollar bill. It's more than a dollar bill. And I guarantee you, you need prosperity somewhere that you got a niche of poverty that's lingering on in you. Okay. All right. So, you know, God wants to bless you. For some of you, you need to receive that. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. Let him bless you. Follow him. Love him with all your heart. All right. Praise God. Is there anything else I was supposed to announce? Kathy, did I miss anything? Okay. All right. All right. Let's go, if we would, into Mark. And you know what I did this morning? What I did there, the Spirit of the Lord had already laid it on me in my heart. It's right here in my little book. I didn't know when that was going to unfold. And I kind of thought, well, I was going to do that. And after I got done with the message, because it kind of goes a little bit with the message, but, you know, as things were moving there, there was a flow of the Holy Spirit that was taking place, and that was the proper time for me to do that. But that was designated from the Lord for us this morning. You know, how the Lord wants us to become and more a people of the Spirit. A people of the Spirit. Now, I've got you there. and Mark in 16. And I'm going to start here in just a minute, and I'm going to start with verse 14. But I want to read this scripture, because this is the first, this is the only place in scripture where the word gap is used. I'll read it to you in Ezekiel 22:30. And I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand. Now listen to this part. And stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. That's an amazing scripture. And there's other scriptures that go with that. You know, to stand in the gap, it's where the enemy is bursting forth. That word, that Hebrew word, means a bursting forth. It means a breach. It means a breakdown. And so we're called to stand in the gap. That's part of what intercessions is all about, is standing in the gap. We pray prayers, a word of prayer. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our families. And we do all that, but we also are called to the work of intercession, because we're called into the mission and ministry of Jesus. Isn't that right? And Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and me. And Hebrews chapter 7 talks about that. And so this is the great work of the church, because it releases the things of the Spirit into the realm of the natural. And that's where the great need is for the church. But before we begin here, we understand that there's a place of being commissioned for the church and for those that are in the church. And that's what we find right here in Mark 16. I'm going to start right here with verse 14. And afterwards he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. Now, can you possibly imagine? Because, can you imagine when that happens, it's not just words. You can feel the spirit of somebody, right? When they, God spoke this to me. God touched me in this way. And, you not only hear the words, but you can feel the genuineness and the power and the reality of that witness that they're giving to you, right? And so don't you think Mary Magdalene, who was one of them, and went back, don't you think that it was kind of obvious? It was kind of obvious. Man, I don't know what this woman's experienced, but boy, she sure did experience anything. I can't wrap my natural mind around that. But see, that is the way of the Spirit, because in the way of the Spirit, we come out of the way of the natural man, and we begin to walk after the way of the Spirit. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the way of the Spirit and the man of the Spirit belongs to you and Jesus. And you need to know that. It belongs to you. You've got to take him up. You've got to take him up. God's not going to force him on you. That man of the Spirit was made in the character, nature, and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you be one who walks after the Spirit. Well, I understand the pastor's supposed to walk after the Spirit, maybe the elders or whatever else, or those that have known God for 25 years. No, it's for you. No, it is for you to take up and to walk. And see, then you can begin to receive the mind of Christ, because God thinks differently from the way of a man. Okay? He surely thinks different from the way of a man. He puts power behind things that doesn't make sense, right? To the natural mind and the natural man. I'll give you an example of that, is that the Holy Spirit, we pray, right? And we pray in our natural mind. That's all well and good. But also God wants to bring you into the realm of praying in the Spirit. He wants to bring you into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He wants to bring you into the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you may operate after the way of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the way he operates is he'll drop a word into your spirit. And he'll drop it in the rhema, which has the life of God to it, it's visionary. It's visionary. And then you begin to make a proclamation. You begin to make a proclamation in faith over that one word. And that one word becomes a command in the realm of the Spirit. And when it is done by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you right now, things begin to happen in the realm of the Spirit. Things begin to take place. Things begin to move by the hand of Almighty God. And that's the people that God's looking for. Now, it makes no natural sense. And as long as we stay in the realm of the natural and the natural man and the intellect is good, but it does not receive the things of the Spirit. The intellect does not receive the things of the Spirit. That's received through the heart by faith. That's received by the heart through by faith. And so what we do is we're being led by the Spirit, right? We're being led by the Spirit of God. You know, and He's in command and He's in control. You know, and this is where you personally, and this is where the church sees progress. This is where progress is truly made in the kingdom of God. You know, and that's part of the work of intercession. You know, so, you know, that's what, even that right there, what he's talking about, he's looking for a people to stand before him. Let me read that again. And I search for a man among them who should build up the wall. You know, that way we're going to stop the enemy. We're going to stop the enemy. We're going to stop the enemy. We're going to take authority in the name of Jesus. We're going to walk in the biblical authority that has been given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what I feel. Are you with me there? You know, I may feel like, well, I'm just so unworthy. Okay, get over it. All right? Get over it. All right? You know, and start standing in Jesus. Start standing in Jesus, right? And He changes your heart, mind. He wants you to receive from that great precious price of His shed blood. He wants you to receive what He's done for you. All right, so that's what we find. You know, to stand in the gap, this is the giveaway before me. That's what the word says, before me. And so that's what we're doing, and that's what we're going to do. And I could say, and it doesn't matter if it's the month of October and we're doing this every Sunday night. This is the destiny of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just given a jump start of it. It's a wonderful opportunity to learn, right? To learn in the Lord. You know, learn by the Spirit. Learn the way of the Spirit. You know, so we're in that mode, aren't we? Because we're called what? We're called a disciple, right? And a disciple is a learner, right? You know, if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not just a title. All right, here we go. I want to look at this. And so we find this in Mark 16. And they were being kind of rebuked a little bit about their unbelief and their hardness. You know, Jesus just didn't tolerate that. You know that? You know, he did that. Remember when the storm came upon him in the boat, right? You know, Jesus was asleep in the front, and they were kind of a little bit disgusted over why they had to go through what they were going through, right? And then they were like, you know, Master, 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 do you not care that we're perishing? What drama, right? What absolute drama, right? You know, and so, you know, and then he said, he spoke to the storm. Did you hear that? He walked in the command. You know, we also find in the word of the Lord. You know, let me, you know it, but in Mark 11:23 it says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, and you can look at that at a later time. Well, we're to take the authority. That authority that you see in Jesus is the authority of the believer, because you're in Jesus and you are His kingdom representative. That's why in another place in Scripture, you're called an ambassador, right? You know, it's not just pretty words. You know, what does an ambassador do? An ambassador is a representative of the power and the authority and the position of the one that he represents, the kingdom or the nation. He's not speaking according to his own accord. He's not speaking his own opinion. He's not speaking his own heart. What he's doing is he's an ambassador. And that's what you've been called in the word of the Lord, an ambassador of the kingdom. And so we walk in that authority and that power and that mission and commission of the Lord. And this is in the realm of the spirits when we begin to see things begin to move in the realm of the spirit. And so we're to set our hearts to believe, and we let God deal with any hardness of heart that we might have, and any unbelief, and He will change it, and he will make you a powerhouse of faith. And I don't care if you run around and you say, I've got so much doubt and fear. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you tackle it by prayer and by faith, and you'll see the Holy Spirit remove every little ounce of it from you. And you'll become so mighty in the Lord in believing him and faith, because he's not leaving you alone. He will do it. Here's verse 15, and he was saying to them, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now, we know that one. We call that the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission. And then he says in 16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. All right. Now, I want you to turn, hold that. Will you mark it? Because I'm going to come right back to it. And I want you to go over to Matthew 28. This is where we usually quote what we have called the Great Commission. All right. But I had it very specific on my heart, given to me by the Holy Spirit, us to look at Mark 16 and the version there in Mark 16. That's why we're there, okay? And I'll turn back that in a minute. You know this one quite well, I'm sure, that we hear it and have heard it. Mainline churches preach it all the time. And the latter part of the chapter, in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all of the nations. Now that's a commissioning that's going on right there, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I just want to make, if I can, just a little statement, because it is my duty to bring forth that which is right in right doctrine, right? And I want you to see that. I want you to see what that said right there. Now I'm going to just say, for water baptism, because this is talking about more than water baptism, but water baptism, we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are those that are out there that call Jesus only, all right? And the Jesus only doctrine is we baptize only in Jesus' name, because it's found in one place there in Acts. Well, here we see here something different, right? And so I just want to make that correction that we can just kind of home in that a little bit. If you hear people talk about that and say that, you understand why we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about water baptism, right? I want you to hear that. I wanted you to know that, okay? So we can see that it doesn't just simply say baptize in Jesus' name. With this, he's talking about more than water baptism. We've turned baptism into a ritual of being water baptized. Water baptism is very important, very important. If you haven't been baptized by water, you should. You should. Because it is following obedience to God. And you know what else it's doing? It's being a witness. Because you're before everybody, right? If you're ashamed of me before men, that I shall be ashamed of you before my Father. So if you want to live that private Christianity, you go right ahead. But there's a warning to it, right? Because there's something wrong in the heart. Right? There's something wrong in the heart. If you're ashamed of me before men, then I shall be ashamed of you before my Heavenly Father. Right? Whatever issues you got there, you deal with it, right? And be that witness of the Lord. And so witness and being a witness is a real important part of our walk. And so that's what we do. When somebody's being baptized, that really, most time, that's the first time you're being a witness since you got saved, right? Usually, not always, but you're being a witness, right? And so what you're doing is you're proclaiming to everyone. Now, when you go down in that water, you know what that's a sign of? That's to say that you're identifying with the dying of Jesus, right? You're identifying because you're separated from the air, right? That's why I believe in immersion. I'm sorry, I do. All right, and then you immersion, be baptized. I believe they were immersed in the Jordan. That's what I think they did. And so that's why we do that. And it's a sign, right? And you're doing an identification, and you're doing a witnessing right there by your actions. You're witnessing by your actions, right? And you're saying, I identify with Jesus. I consider myself dead to myself. That's not talked enough in church. It's just not, we don't want to hear that. Make me feel good, right? Yeah, you know, that's the attitude in church most of the day. You know, I go to make me feel good, right? Make me feel good, right? Good grief. How far are you going to get on that? You know? How far are you going to get on that? No, not very far. Not very far. It's not the duty of the preacher or being in the Word to make you feel good, right? It's not the duty. That's not the calling, right? So, but when you make a quality decision, you're going to follow Jesus. You do it with your whole heart. And when you do it with your whole heart, you're identifying not only with the life and the promises of eternal life that is all yours in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're identifying also with His death. You're saying, I give up me. You say, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm demonstrating to every single person out there, you know, here he is, you're going to put me under the water. I just demonstrated my witness to you that I'm no longer going to be in this world. I'm not going to live a worldly life. I'm not going to be a worldly person. I'm not going to live after sin. I'm not going to live after the flesh. I identify now with Jesus. He's the Lord of my life, and that's my testimony. Right? That's what you're doing when you're baptized. You're also, you know, separated from, you know, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. You know, you're separated momentarily. You know, there's a dying because you're under the water, right? You're under the water, right? There's no life under that water. And then you come out, and then when you come out, it's a sign of being resurrected in the likeness of His resurrection. A lot of people want to skip the identity of His dying, and they just want to go straight to the identity of the likeness of His resurrection. You can't have one without the other. Well, that's also called the cross. And Jesus not only had a cross, but the word of the Lord says to take up your cross and follow me daily. Right? You know, if you want more of the Lord, I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit's going to take you the way of the cross. You know, you're going to say, oh, bless me over here, Lord. You know, bless me over here. You know, and He says, oh, yes, I will. I'll bless you right over here. I'll bless you. And then you go over here and you say, why all this stuff coming up? You know, that I don't want to talk about, God. I don't want to talk about it, Lord God. I don't want to give that over to you, you know. And on, right? And, you know, and see, the Spirit of God is taking you the way of the cross because of the way into the resurrection life. And you're not going to obtain resurrection life if you don't go the way of the cross. You're not going to do it. You're going to remain in you. You're not going to know the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to know the things that you read about are just going to be like fairy tales on a page. That's what they're going to be. And so it is with a lot of Christians. It's nothing more than like fairy tales on a page because there's no reality to it because they won't go the way of the cross. I'm not going to let go of me and my flesh and my indulgences. I'm not going to let give me all of Jesus. Because see, there's a lot of message that you can get out there that you can have both. And you can't. You can't. We just don't hear it. Preachers don't want to preach on it. It may have a negative effect on my church. Right? Don't you go telling me the pastors don't think that way. They shouldn't think that way, but they don't tell me they don't. Right? You know, I can't say that, you know, because it'll have a negative effect on my church. I'll just put it in God's hands and let Him deal with it. Coward! I don't see how that happens, but it happens all the time. Subjects that are staring them in the face in our society today, in our church today, and the preachers won't preach about it. They won't say anything about it because it might have a negative effect on my church. It's called selfish ambition, if you want to know the truth. Okay? We talked about that on Wednesday night, didn't we? We talked about selfish ambition. It's a great danger. It's a great danger. So you see this. So that what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do and bring into the life of the believer, it says right here in 19, again, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's yours to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not just in water baptism now, but I'm talking about in the realm of the Spirit. to be baptized, to be saved. Jesus is the Savior. He's designated as the Savior. And you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, right? I know that it's hard to wrap your mind around in your natural logical thinking, but God transcends logical thinking. If you want to know God, you're going to have to come out of your logical thinking, and you're going to have to come through your heart, okay? And the Spirit of God gives you understanding. And then the intellects of the world are trying to figure it out, and it has no logical exclamation to it. You can't understand it and can't receive it, but here you are walking in it and living in it, right? Because you came before the Lord just like a babe, right? Just like a little babe, but humbling yourself before the Lord. See, God has locked out the wise through their wisdom. It says that in 1 Corinthians, right? He's locked out the wise through their wisdom. With a wisdom that sounds nothing but foolish. But see, the Spirit of the Lord gives you understanding. And that it's not foolish to you. And by the Spirit, I call them in the name of Jesus. Come to your Savior. Be loosed from the north. Be loosed from the south. Be loosed from the east. Be loosed from the west. Come forth in Jesus' name. That sounds like, does that make logical sense? But see, in the realm of the Spirit, because you're not operating in the realm of the natural, you're operating in the realm of the Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit's the one that gives spiritual understanding. And then you're able to walk in the wisdom of God and not being bound by the wisdom of men. Now, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, would you go back to Mark, if you would? I'm going to read a couple of other scriptures. God's always been looking for a people. Here's Zephaniah. Listen to this. Zephaniah 1:12 says, And it will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps. Get the picture. And I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit. Now, who's stagnant in spirit? Who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. A lot of conviction right there, isn't there? Huh? The Lord, you know, the Lord's not going to do anything. You know, they say in their hearts, they have no expectation. All right, let me read another one. Here's Ezekiel 34:6. My flock wandered through all of the mountains and on every high hill, and my flock was scattered over all of the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or to seek for them. God's looking for people. God's looking for a people. That's what God's doing. He's looking for a people. Here's 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, then he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Don't you love that? And the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whose heart is completely his, that he may be able to strongly support. Wow. That's an incredible statement, isn't it? It's an incredible statement. I love this one. You know it well. Isaiah 6:8 says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me. And that's who God's looking for. Right? That's who he's looking for. That's who he anoints. That's who he anoints, right? Now, look with me here. We'll come on back here in Mark. I'll finish up this portion of this message. In verse 15, it says, and he said to them, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Here's 16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Here's 17, and these signs will accompany those who have believed. I just want to say it in case you read it on the side of the margin of your Bible. It says that you know, some earlier manuscripts do not contain this verse. Ignore it. and ignore the men who wrote it because they don't know what they're talking about. Because these scriptures are all witnessed all through the Word of God. Okay? And everything that they're saying, it doesn't make any difference if earlier manuscripts don't have it there. Right? It was canonized, okay, by those who witnessed in the church fathers that this was to be there. All right? Okay. Problem solved. Okay, here we go in 17. And these signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. Half the church doesn't even believe in demons. They will speak with new tongues, you know, and the other half believes that that's of the devil. Boy, we're in a quandary now, aren't we? Right? We got a problem now, right? Because the foundation things that these people are commissioned in the power of God, in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and can only be worked in the power of the Holy Spirit, they don't even receive it. No, they narrow it down to be just witnessing. And I'm not taking away from that. You witness in a lot of ways, but being a witness by speaking it. They narrow it down because they can't receive the things of the Spirit. They can't receive the things of the Spirit. These people are going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. Okay? These people are going to cast out demons because there's a lot of people running around with demons. All right? And then number two, and they're going, oh, goodness, now they really set my hair on fire. And they're going to speak in new tongues. Right? Oh, gee whiz. We got to get rid of this portion of Scripture, boys. We got to get rid of it. How are we going to get rid of it? Well, let's just say that earlier manuscripts don't have this in it, you know, so let's put questions in the hearts of the people. This really, really is, should be there or not. No, it says it. And and everything that's said there is witnessed by other scriptures. All right, so this is your commission. And I want you to just simply, all I want you to see here right now is that these accomplishments come in the realm of the Spirit and not through the natural workings of man, not through man's mind, not through his will, not through his cleverness, not through his activities, because only God can get the attention of someone and experience a changed heart. I can't change anybody's heart. You can't change. I can speak words, right? You know, and I can tell you a bunch of things, but that's about as far as it goes, right? And I'm not saying don't be a witness. I'm saying be a witness and be more of a witness and tell more people about Jesus. But also lay hands on more people. Lay hands on more people also. I lay hands on people and they don't even know what I'm doing. They go home saying, where did my desire go? Where did my desire go? What's happened to me? Something's gone wrong here, you know? Because I used to have a lot of fun in my desire. Now I don't even want to do it, right? Okay. They don't even know what happened to them, right? Lay hands on people. Lay hands on people. Be the vessel of Jesus, because that's what you're doing. You're laying hands on people, and you're being the vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And that's all through the word of the Lord. Lay hands on people. Address spirits, all right? Maybe address some of the spirits that are hanging on you. I don't know, because they want to hang on you now, you know, and don't think because you use the name of Jesus that they are going to stay away from you, because that's not true. Listen, when you enter into enemy territory, you're going to encounter the enemy. And if you indulge after the way of the flesh, if you go after the flesh is not the way of God and the kingdom. If you go after the way of the flesh, expect to encounter some demons. Expect it. Expect it. Okay? Because you're in the wrong kingdom. You're in the wrong kingdom. You're in the wrong place. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and been brought into the kingdom and domain of God. All right? So I want to say, you know, all of the false doctrine that demons can't affect or afflict Christians. Well, even here in the Word of God, I can show you places where, you know, some of them cause sicknesses. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. Some of them cause sicknesses, right? Go back and close doors. Go back and close doors. right? Take the ground back. It starts with you personally. It starts with you personally. Take the ground back, right? You take the ground back, okay? And, you know, address things in your life. You know, I command in the name of Jesus that my body's not going to be used like that no more. And I'm not going to put up with it. And I command any spirit that's being tied to me and afflicting me that I bind you and I loose you and command you to leave me in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something else. I should teach on it right now, but I can't do it right now. But and that is that, you know, when the spirit leaves and then he comes back and he's got seven or more, okay? Do you understand what the problem is in that scripture? Do you understand what the problem is in that scripture? Is that it's cleaned, it's swept, but then there's a blaring word, but it's left unoccupied. Boy, we just hit on why seven other spirits could come. You hear me? All right? So you understand repentance. Repentance involves accepting Jesus in what the place of what you're repenting of. Right? I'm repenting of this means turn around, turn about. So when you repent of whatever, you're also asking Jesus to occupy the empty place. Are you with me? And this is the key to an effective repentance versus repentance that never works. Repentance that never works is you're not, I don't want to be changed. I'm not welcoming the Lord in that area of my life. You know, I just don't want that anymore because, you know, it's a little too detrimental. And I don't want that no more. I don't want that no more. No. Repent. And then in repentance is to turn and invite Jesus into the area where you're repenting. You'll find power in your repentance. And even if it doesn't, I'm going to close right here, but even if it doesn't disappear immediately, it will. Everybody say it will. It will disappear, I guarantee it. Oh, praise the Lord. Kathy, would you all come on? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Place, I want you to turn over here into Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 29, let me read these scriptures to you kind of quickly. You know, we got two more. So we see right here obedience. Obedience is one of the cornerstones of true prosperity. Obedience. And then secondly, we find that to be a blessing. To be a blessing is one of the cornerstones. You know, it is one of the cornerstones of the true prosperity of Almighty God. Here is now Deuteronomy 29, and I want you to look at verse 9. It says, "So keep the words of the covenant to do them, that you may prosper in all that you do." You know, and so, you know, let the Lord be Lord over your heart, over your body, over your circumstances, over your need, and also over your money. How can that not be? How can that not be? And then what's the promise? To be obedient to the covenant, that you may what? That you may prosper. That you may prosper. Look down here in verse 12. Verse 12 says, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God is making with you here today. You know, so the covenant, we walk in the covenant of the Lord. I want you to come down here and I want you to look at verse 24. And all of the nations will say, "Why has the Lord done thus to this land? Why this great outburst of anger?" Verse 25, then men shall say, "Because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt." Verse 26 says, "And they went and they served other gods and they worshiped them, gods whom they have not known and whom he had not allotted to them." You know, so we walk in faithfulness to God. We walk in the covenant of the Lord and we walk in obedience. This is a familiar scripture. This is also, we come to now in Deuteronomy 30. And in Deuteronomy 30, what we come to is we come now to the fourth, the third cornerstone right here. And that is that to be a believer and to live a life of faith. Look at this down here in Deuteronomy 30, and I'm just going to use this verse right here, verse 14. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. Ever heard that before anywhere? Well, yes, that is quoted in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, right? These very scriptures here, I've made reference to that, all right? So this is the act of faith. Live a life of faith. Here is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Live a life of faith. Receive what Jesus has done for you. The only way that you'll ever be pleasing to God is by believing God. You will never earn what you have been given. You'll never earn it. Let go of it. Let go of it. You believe God and you have real faith, God's going to make you obedient. He'll make you obedient. He'll give you power in your life. He'll give you His heart for. You know, and the things that you used to struggle with and the things you indulged in that were not of the Lord will come to an end. He'll remove them. He'll remove them. Love Him with all of your heart. Love Him with all of your heart. Don't be afraid to love the Lord. Don't be afraid to be obedient to God and believe upon Him. This is the root and the foundation of the covenant that we've received in Jesus. It is a covenant of faith, and we receive it on the basis of faith through grace. And so this is what he's talking about right here. Let me read this a little bit further for you. Let me come on down here in verse 18. I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. He's talking about them not being obedient. You shall not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and to possess it. Here's 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Now, how do you do that? Look at verse 20. By loving the Lord, your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. So obedience comes from loving the Lord. And so the way we walk is we walk by faith in the new covenant of the Lord. And if we believe God, the things that we can't change, that we can't do anything about, I'm talking about mainly about within ourselves, then we trust the Lord to bring forth His promises, His power, and His glory, which that's exactly what He will do. And now I'm going to come to this last one right here, and I want you, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and a promise that I want to read to you. And this is now in Deuteronomy in chapter 33, and I want to begin in verse 26. There is none like the God of Jeshua who rides the heavens to your help, and through the skies in His majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place. And underneath are the everlasting arms. As I had a friend of mine used to say, that's a refrigerator verse, right? That's a refrigerator. You know that, you know, write it out, put it on the refrigerator. Every time you go to the refrigerator, you read it, right? Okay. You know, that's not really a bad habit, you know that? You know, refrigerator verses, you know, write them out, you know, and write out that scripture. And then, you know, because a lot of people have a habit of going to the refrigerator a lot, you know. So anyway, so you can go to the refrigerator and boy, and you just make it a part of it. And read scriptures, take them, read them out loud before you reach in there and grab that other piece of pie. Read it out loud, okay? All right? Now, I'm not joking. This is a good habit. He would say that, boy, that'd make a good refrigerator verse, wouldn't it? You know. Here's number four, and then the last one right here that makes a soundness of true prosperity. And this is to be generous. To be generous. You're called that in the Lord, to be generous. Right here you see the generosity of the Lord that has been given to you and me, who rides the heavens to your help. Oh, isn't that good? Rides the heavens to your help. This is what Proverbs 11, 25 says. The generous man will be prosperous. And listen to this part. And he who waters will himself be watered. You know, I thought to myself, you know, okay, he who waters, he himself will be watered. I thought to myself just a minute, I thought, well, okay, let's say I don't water. Now what happens? Now what happens? That word generous, nadiv, N-A-D-I-V, Hebrew word. Listen to this. It means a voluntary giving, willing. And you know what else is attached to its definition? What else is attached to its definition is it means noble. It means noble. And it means, how about this one? Prince-like. Right? You know, that kind of generosity, you know, the generosity of a benevolent king, which you are, okay? Take your place in Jesus, right? Which you are. Take your place in Jesus. You know, so, you know, this is the word of the Lord right here. Here's another place. As Proverbs 22:9 says, he who is generous will be blessed. That's speaking pretty plain, isn't it? That's speaking pretty plain. Amen, amen, and praise God. Now, this is the four corners of a solid foundation of prosperity. That, you know, that we're not tunnel vision. We're not narrow-minded as defining the prosperity of the Lord. And knowing that it is the will of God that you be blessed. It is the will of God that your offspring be blessed. All these things, you know, and some of these things I would say to you, you have to get before God and hammer them out, all right? You've heard me say that before. Hammer it out with the Lord. Hammer it out with the Lord. Some of these things you need to hammer out to the Lord. But understand as you do that, that you know the will of God because you've been told the will of God. Hold God's promises up to Him and pray them back to Him. And stand on them and proclaim them and claim them in the Lord. And the Lord will begin to move because you begin to take up that covenant that He's given to us. Because it's a covenant that comes through faith in believing Him. Kathy, why don't y'all come on up?